Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection on Star 94.5. I'm Monica May. March, as we know, is Women's History Month. And recently, I had the honor of meeting Minnie Jean Brown Trickey at Valencia College. They opened up the West Campus to the community to meet this great woman who made history as one of the Little Rock Nine. The nine African-American students who desegregated Little Rock Central High School in 1957. You've seen the photos. You've probably even seen Eyes on the Prize. Well, as the world watched, these teens braved constant intimidation and threats from those who opposed them being there. It's a formerly all-white high school. It was a brand new school as well. Although all of the nine experienced verbal and physical harassment during that one academic year at Central, it only took place in 1 year. Trickey was the first one suspended and then expelled for retaliating against the daily torment. In fact, at one point, she bravely called one of her tormentors white trash. Well, in this interview, she tells us what actually happened that day. Trickey was smart, as she'll tell you. She was beautiful, kind, could sing, athletic, and just didn't understand what the big deal was or why the students wouldn't like her. She's an amazing woman. Today, Minnie Jean Brown is a social activist. She's worked on behalf of peacemaking, environmental issues, developing youth leadership, diversity education and training, and social justice advocacy. She served in the Clinton administration as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Workforce Diversity. Trickey is the recipient of numerous awards for her community work for social justice. Along with the other Little Rock Nine and Daisy Bates, she was awarded the prestigious Spingarn Medal by the NAACP in 1958. Not sure if you know who Daisy Bates was, but she was a civil rights activist, a writer, and publisher. And Daisy and her husband chronicled the plight of the nine in their newspaper. She was so committed to their cause that the Bates' home became the headquarters for the battle to integrate Central High School. Daisy also served as a personal advocate and supporter to the students. One more note, in 1999, President Clinton presented the nation's highest civilian award, which is the Congressional Gold Medal, to all the members of the Little Rock Nine. So grab a cup of coffee and let the story unfold. My first question was, what made you pick this school, and did you know what you were getting into?
Let me see if I can explain. Part of the things that we say as the Nine is ordinary people can do extraordinary things, because we do speak to quite a number of young people. And this sort of star quality that we like so much in our society, we try to cut through that and talk about regular kids. That's key. That's really important, because when you become super anything, then nobody else can aspire to do it. So that young people know that they too can make a decision to do something before you know how big it is, before you're told that this is going to be the most significant thing in the world. That we can make a decision with a certain amount. We can be frivolous, we can be silly, we can be serious. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to scare any kids away from doing things that turn out to be really important. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. We're speaking this morning with Minnie Jean Brown Trickey. She was one of the nine students who just took a chance, wanted a new opportunity to be educated, didn't know that she was going to be making history in 1957 in Little Rock, part of the first black students to, we like to say, integrate.
High School. You know that word.
Yes, yes, yes. One of the things that Minnie Jean and the other students have done to this day is just tell their story in a way so that we take them off this pedestal and make you and I realize that when you want change, you have to be change. We talked about courage. Do you remember what you said when I asked you about where did that courage come from? But before I could even mouth the question, you spoke to the word courage. Do you remember what you said?
Well, I think I said, and often I don't know what I say, is that it's not there initially. It comes thinking about it over time, because that's what people want to know. How did you do it? Yeah. What did you have? Where did you get it? Didn't know. Don't know. Still don't know. Can't figure it out, but just understand that when it was necessary, because of nonviolence, it encourages people. When you see all that violence, you just think, I'm not going to be like that. That's one thing I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be screaming hatred. I will never threaten death to anyone. And so is that courage? Like a decision that you want to be something different from a violent person, different from people who hate and bully and even kill people. So, I mean, is that the nature of courage? Maybe it is, but it grows, whatever it is, whatever we want to call it. Mm-hmm. It grows often as a result of seeing what you don't want to be.
I liken it to self-esteem. You're not born with it. It has to be shaped in you. Courage, on the other side, you're not born with it, but you have to be in a situation to know that it's there and to use it.
Right, exactly. Thank you. I like the way you put that. For me, it continues to unfold. I know it was 60 years ago, but looking at it and trying to figure it out and trying to use it in the best way possible to inspire or encourage young people or people in general, it's a lifetime process. And I'm pleased that I'm still thinking about it and still working on it and still trying to figure it out.
You know,
it is very complex.
It's very complex. And I liked the person who interviewed you, one of the professors from Valencia, and he gave you moments to just think and get your thoughts together, because you said it's still unfolding for me. And this is 60 years later. I got to ask a simple question, because I always deal with the mental health of situations. Have you ever counseled with anyone?
Yeah, you mean for help for me?
Yeah, just for you.
Well, you know, that was a time when
we didn't do that.
We didn't do that.
We still don't do it.
So I became a counselor, psychotherapist. I don't do it so much anymore. I based a lot of my working with other people based on some of my experiences. And so turns out I became a really good therapist.
Oh, I bet.
Just because I was compassionate and I was sympathetic and could understand people's pain and all that. So, yeah, we figure it out in different ways, right?
You also said that doing what you did to, and we put quotations around the word integrate, Central High, you chose it. It was not something that was given to you. And after a while, you said because of what was happening, it became an obligation. You were doing this not just for yourselves, you were doing it for other students and what could happen tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Everybody says, did you know what you were doing? And I can say when I signed up, I didn't. And that's okay. And we don't have to know what we're doing. But when you see people respond the way people were responding to us, you know, when I'm talking to young people, I say, you know what? The people today just dragged those old signs out of their basement. They didn't even make up any new ones. So the things we see today, go back to Africa, communism was a big one then.
Yes.
Race mixing is an abomination against God. I mean, oh my goodness, they used everything they could. Even when you're 15, you say, okay, I realize this is bigger than I ever thought it could be. And I don't know where it's going to go. But, you know, they got me riled up. I'm ready to do whatever it takes to say that I'm better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be that. And then say they threw away their dignity and it landed on us. Well, they did. These were women. And I don't know where you're from, but in the American South, we were taught that white women were really delicate and they would faint and swoon and all that. And I'm looking at them and they're like monsters screaming.
Yeah.
And they were the ones who seemed to be the angriest, even though the men were angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like life flashes in front of your eyes and you become aware. We became really knowledgeable on the first day. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is huge.
you say that you were told that, well, there's going to be some cat calls. You know, to me, a cat call might be, I'm from New York, Mrs. Brown, tricky. So for me, a cat call is the guys in the street whistling or saying stuff to you.
Yeah, nothing.
But these were horrific. Just hurls, spews, and spitting, and rocks being thrown. Y'all weren't prepared for that.
I don't think anybody ever is prepared. On the second day, after we went, after 3 weeks, on the second day we went, they beat up these reporters, including this black reporter, Alex Wilson. I mean, eyes on the prize has it.
Yes.
Fortunately, as a media person, they used to throw away all that footage, or they used to record over it. So a lot of footage got lost, but somehow somebody managed to save that Little Rock stuff, and I'm really glad, because you can't deny it, United States. You can't say it didn't happen. You can't say, oh, over there they have this. But we, no, you can't do it. So, and it helps me, too, because I want to see it. I want to stay committed to this.
You know, it's so hard to think about or for us to see in 2017, some of the horrible things that were done as we marched, some of the horrible things that were done to our ancestors when they tried to go and vote, some of the horrible things that were done to people like you and the other eight students when you tried to go to get an education. Malala, you mentioned meeting Malala and how you all have a lot in common, huh?
Yeah, but we don't like to admit that over there they treat women like this. But over there, they don't like for girls to get an education. But let me tell you, folks, over here, we don't like for girls to get an education. We don't like for some kids to get an education. Okay, so now I want to make those comparisons. I want people to stop saying we're better, they're worse.
Yeah.
And say we're all horrible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we really should get it together in some basic way.
She mentioned some very key historic moments, and she said, and if you don't know these things, shame on you. How do we get the interest back in fighting for what is rightfully ours? How do we get that back in people?
I'm not sure. I of course, I think it's education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for, you know, I can walk into a college, which is top of the line, and ask a couple of questions. And I'll say, I went to the most expensive school in the country. And I said, and I asked them a couple of questions, and they didn't know the answers. I said, you need to get your money back and go home, because you're not being educated. And that, I mean, and that, I think, is what we should continuously challenge. I mean, first of all, when people say, well, I learned this in college, well, it's too late. It has to be. So I like talking to elementary school kids really a lot. Hi.
I have an opportunity every week where I go into a school that's in Ocoee, Florida, and you're familiar with parts of Florida. It's predominantly white in Ocoee, and this elementary school is predominantly white. And I was asked by one of the guidance counselors there to come and address a group of mixed girls that were in the fifth grade. And you know, I wouldn't say that they were the troublemakers. I would say that people had problems with them because of who they were. And these girls were very opinionated to be fifth graders, and I loved it. So that was only supposed to be for that one semester, and it's like I'm getting ready to go into my fifth year there. So I go once a week, and this year I've been talking with some fourth and fifth graders, and I find them to be the most interesting human beings on this earth.
And so amazing.
Yes. To help shape their minds, I find it to be an honor. And to help shape little girls' minds, I'm a single mom of a daughter. I just found it so interesting to just share and pour into them. And kids are open. They're sponges.
Yeah,
they'll take anything that you give them.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to know the right things to put into them. You mentioned Eyes on the Prize, and I wanted to remind people that it is a PBS video on America's civil rights movement. And if you wanted to get a look into or synopsis what it is we're talking about, you might want to start right there. What are some other things that we can tell our audience to read or to watch so they'll be up to date? We said Selma.
Oh, my God, there's so much. Well, there's the Selma, the movie, which is good because we get to see some aspects of that movement. There's the 13th, which is about the 13th Amendment, which is a documentary, which is on Netflix, and it's about the history of black male incarceration and, oh, my goodness. Then there's Slavery by Another Name, which is about convict leasing. Just to, you know, first of all, we don't know how we got here, but somebody can tell us how we got here to this huge level of incarceration, the largest number of people incarcerated in the world, you know, and we're so superior to everybody else. But we got that one. We're really superior on that. And that whole idea. So it got there for a reason. It's policy. It's strategic policy to keep black men in chains, literally and figuratively. Turns out now that because of police in schools, young black women are being shuttled into the juvenile justice system. You know, like, say, and talk to the hand or something. They're considered aggressive. There's an amazing report put out by the Women's Law Center about what's happening to young black girls. So there's lots of material out there that it could really keep us informed and keep us excited and indignant. So, I mean, part of it, again, it's never about anything but being educated and educating ourselves. And we're not going to get it particularly from mainstream institutions. We may get pieces, little snippets. So we have to educate ourselves. And that, I think, is maybe, you know, a hard thing to think about. But really, that's it. We have to educate our own children, educate our communities, be talking about this stuff in our religious spaces, because we are profoundly, intentionally ignorant in this country. And if we don't do something, we're going to stay that way.
I don't know if you heard what she just said, but when I listened to her the other night at Valencia, she said, we need to make that into a hashtag. Oof, that's heavy.
I mean, you have to. With the possibility of so much information that's never been more. You have to really work at it, not to learn something of use. So, I mean, that's my challenge.
If you are just tuning in, we're speaking with Minnie Jean Brown, now Tricky. She was 16 in 1957 in the 11th grade, and I love what she said. She loves herself. She said, I was tall, I was beautiful, I sang well, I was good at sports, I liked to dance, and why wouldn't people like me? But in finding herself being one of nine black students to, let's say, infiltrate instead of integrate, because integrate means that, you know, everybody wants it or, you know, it's about to, but infiltrate an all-white school, Central High School in Arkansas. It was horrible, horrible. They were told to sign a piece of paper. And these kids were taken to the school. And they said, now, there may be some catcalls on the first day. Well, if you've ever seen pictures of what they endured, columns of people that they had to walk through, and they weren't prepared for that. But I got to tell you, these nine students endured. They endured until one incident in a cafeteria, and I want you to set the record straight on how that happened so that you were finally suspended. But I got to tell you, for every day that she was there, she spoke up for herself and for the other students as well. Did you ever want to give up? I didn't get to ask you that. Did you ever want to stop?
Yeah, every day. But it gets to be fun at a certain point. My mom said, you want to stay home today? I said, no, I got to go see what they're going to do to me today. I mean,
And that is her true spirit, you guys. That is Minnie Jean's true spirit. Is she a rabble rouser? No, she just stands up for herself. But talk to us about what really happened in the cafeteria.
But I think we all did defend ourselves.
Well, you had to.
Yeah, we had to. You know, they knocked two of the boys unconscious in the basement, you know, and they were trying to put people's heads in toilets. And, you know, I think that there's only so much
that you can take.
That just can. So you have all these different ways. I call it resistance. Just not crying. We never cried, even though we wanted to. Certainly not at school. And so it's a way of disrupting people's beliefs and what they think they're capable. It disrupts a situation like that. So they couldn't figure us out. Who are these kids who aren't crying, even though we're terrorizing them? Who are these kids? Why don't they go home? We're scaring them to death. We're doing everything to chase them away. What's wrong with them? You know, I think you mess up people's minds when they think that they're doing something that will be, that will work, and it doesn't. When I talk about it unfolding, something comes in every time. It must have made them crazy that we didn't break. So basically, for me, I was in a crowded central cafeteria, 1,000 kids at a time. So the girls are snickering. You know something's up. You're not sure what, but you know something's up. And as I was going through between tables, somehow the chairs, the floor was marble, I think, slammed against me. And I sort of backed away and started again, and they slammed against me. And for whatever reason, my tray, my chili, my everything on that tray tumbled on two boys. One boy got a lot of chili, and we had to go to the girls' vice principal. And the one boy said she didn't do anything. It wasn't her fault. Well, they got him out of there really quickly. You know, I didn't see him again for 47 years.
Wow.
So when the principal said, "Oh, Mary Jane," I'm not going to do that. I can. What happened? Did you do it on purpose? And I said, accidentally on purpose. And because there is a resistance, this whole idea that they want you to be grateful. Why are you just so fortunate to be here? No, I'm not. It's the law. I can be here. So I'm not going to grovel for you. That's what makes people crazy. That's what made them crazy. I didn't know how to grovel. I didn't know how to be grateful. Don't know what my problem was, but I didn't. So they're going to hate you, hate me. They still hate people like that. We could name a few. People who don't know how to grovel. People who don't think that their high office should be grateful. No. So we drive people crazy when we don't know that rule.
So what happened that day is that the altercation caused both of them, she and the white boy, to be suspended.
And no, the boy didn't get suspended.
He was never suspended?
No, I'm the one who got.
You got suspended, huh?
In the three occasions when soup was thrown on me, I think sometimes at least one guy would get suspended. But, I mean, those situations aren't part of the news. They're not a part of the discussion. That what happened to me. So one of the incidents is known because the person who did it, who threw soup on me, apologized to me on Oprah.
Yes. So
we know about that incident.
But there were several others.
Yeah, right.
Well, I wanted to also share that over time, the other eight students were able to graduate and were,
no,
is it true that you were
able to graduate?
They were not?
No, wait, let me explain.
Yeah.
One person graduated.
Out of you nine?
There was only one senior that year.
Okay.
The next year, they closed the high school in Little Rock. So those people who would have been in the 12th grade didn't go to school that year. So Ernie Green was the only senior. So he graduated that first year. That next year, they closed the schools. And because they closed the schools, people left or did correspondence.
Mm.
And then after that year of closing the schools, the court opened the schools again, and two graduated who had started as 10th graders, and two graduated that year. So the key here is that they closed the high schools in Little Rock.
Mm.
The the color, the black school and the white school.
The black and the white school.
Yeah.
We have to have continuous conversation because I could sit at your feet and just listen and learn forever, forever.
Okay.
But I wanted to see how we could shape this with an ending, at least for now, to be continued, at least for now. I would like to find out, what are you doing today?
Oh, well, I quickly and work with young people. Specifically, I love elementary school kids. I'm going from Orlando to Atlanta to meet with my group, 150 high school students, and we do a 7-day sojourn to selected civil rights sites. The organization is called Sojourn to the Past, and we teach nonviolence, we teach social justice and social action, direct action, and we allow and make sure that the young people meet with those participants of the civil rights movement wherever possible.
Mm.
So we brainwashed 8,000 young people to be thoughtful and concerned and active to vote. Those kids from that trip over 16 years have been amazing activists, and we're really proud of them. So,
and I'm proud of you, and I don't know if you realize she slid the word in brainwashed, but I love it. It did not escape me, but I love it, and I fell in love with you the week I saw you here at Valencia, and I just want to say, be encouraged, my sister, and your courage speaks volumes for others. May God continue to richly bless you.
Thank you very much, and go in peace.
Real history from the person themselves, and I just love your spirit.
Life, I think, is the key, right?
You know it. You know it. Thank you, family, for enjoying this conversation with Minnie Jean Brown Tricky, one of the Little Rock Nine. Enjoy your day, and thank you for listening to another edition of Community Connection. Pastor Reva Timms is up next with the Glory of Gospel on Star 94.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.